Lord, save the King, O Lord, and hear us on the day we call to thee.
Alleluia.
Understanding of thy gospel teachings. Implant also in us the fear of thy blessed commandments, and trampling down all kind of desires, we may enter upon the spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well pleasing to thee. Thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our Lord, and unto thee do we send that glory, together with thy Father, through wisdom everlasting, and then all holy, good, and life-creating Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages.
Amen.
Let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto
all. And to your spirit.
The reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Let us attend. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then he came into a certain village, and there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, Go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed, where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God, except this foreigner? And he said to him, Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. The Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
It says that he was met by 10 lepers. We are lepers, as the prayers of the church would teach us. Our leprosy is of the soul. Yet it is visible to us in all the maladies and infirmities that we suffer. And finally, in our inevitable death and corruption. In his commentary on Genesis, St. Ephrem of Syria, he died in the year 373, writes that it was the first pair's greed, not the serpent, that caused their fall. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, St. Ephrem teaches, is good. It's not evil, for God created it. According to St. Ephrem, the tree of life was beyond the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. To reach the tree of life, then, Adam and Eve had first to get past the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That means that they had to deny themselves and not eat from it in obedience to the divine command. From St. Maximus the Confessor and other patristic texts, we may understand the tree of the knowledge of good and evil as the biological life of the world. Because it's opposite the tree of life, St. Maximus calls it the tree of death, Not because sexuality is evil, but because if we are separated from God, Sexual life, which comprehends our whole life, does it not? We come from sex. We are sexual. It embraces the whole life of the world. And if it is, but if it is, it is life, but if it is separated from God, sexual life leads only back to the earth where we came from. Now, the spiritual leprosy of our greed manifests itself following St. Maximus, who died in what, 662. It manifests itself as perverted self-love, which means perverted erotic desire. In other words, erotic desire turned away from its natural fulfillment. St. Dionysius writes that God is the originator and begetter of our erotic desire. So we learn from St. Dionysius. Our desire for beauty and joy, our desire for intimacy and friends, all of these are expressions of our erotic desire. And all of this is the manifestation of the image of God moving in us, compelling us by the force of the erotic desire divinely sown in us to come out of ourselves and to belong not to ourselves but to God, the source of beauty and goodness that our soul longs for. And God, says Saint Maximus, in his erotic love, comes out of himself to create the world, filling it with his mercy and steadfast love that endure forever, desiring earnestly to draw all men to himself, that he may bestow the unsearchable riches of his glory on all who call on him. Hence the command, "Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil," is not because the world or our sexuality is evil, and not because our erotic desire is evil, but because our erotic desire finds its rest, finds its fulfillment, far beyond the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in the consummate manifestation of the great love with which God loved us, the Sabbath rest of the tree of life. So when it says this morning, he came into a certain village, we see the tree of life, impelled by his own intense erotic longing, coming out of himself to where we are, that seeing him we may desire his beauty, and in love for him, follow him into his Sabbath rest and into the garden of his resurrection. To these lepers who called out to him, he gave the command, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." They went, it says, and they were cleansed. We too, wanting to be cleansed, went and showed ourselves to the priest, and we asked to be received into the Orthodox Church. We were directed to take up the cross of the Church's ascetic disciplines, to prepare for drawing near the font. If we were infants, our godparents did this on our behalf. Confessing the sins of our spiritual leprosy, praying and fasting in the way of the Church, this is what we were directed to do. And when we showed ourselves to the priests, to prepare ourselves for our baptism, being received into the Church. We were told to fast, to pray, to confess our sins. It's just one sentence in this sermon, but it's big, and I might say it a couple of times. The hunger of the fast leads us into our soul. That's why we fast. The hunger of the fast
leads us into our soul and to the font of our erotic desire. That's why fasting is so critically important. Confessing our sins awakens us to the perverted movements of our erotic desire. Together, confession and fasting form the foundation of prayer, because they make the mind and the body alert. Do you notice that when you start the fast for the Nativity, for Great Lent, after about the first week or two, do you notice that you have more energy? You're more alert, you're more awake, you don't have to sleep so much. I do. You become alert, you become more awake through the fast. So that in the attentiveness that are brought about in us through the fast and through the confession of our sins, in that attentiveness, the prayers of the church, not our own prayers, not our own prayers. Our own prayers are infected with the deception of our own self-loving greed, our own self-righteousness. And so not our prayers, but the prayers of the church that are given to us to say, in the attentiveness created by the fasting and the confessing of our sins, the prayers of the church orient the ears of our soul to the Word of God and train us to distinguish the word of wisdom from the wisdom of the serpent of our own opinions, constantly whispering in our ears. Having thus been led by the church into our soul through the fast, through the prayers, through the confessions of sins, to stand before the font of our erotic desire, and therefore before the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we were led to the entrance of the church to stand before the baptismal font, the tomb of Christ, the gate of Eden, the icon of Christ, the priest. In the name of the icon of God, Christ Jesus, addressed the icon of God that we are. And he asked us, he did not command us, he asked us first, do you renounce Satan? And when we said, yes, we do, of our own free will, then he gave us a command. We turned around and we spat upon Satan. We didn't just say, yeah, I renounce him. No, we acted it out. We spat on him. And then after we had done that, he turned us around and then he asked us. He did not command us. He asked us, do you unite yourself to Christ? And we, of our own free will, we chose to unite ourselves to Christ. And by that time, we should know full well what it means to unite ourselves to Christ. It means that we are choosing to deny ourselves and to master our greed, our erotic desire, in order to come out of ourselves and to drive, if you will, to drive our erotic desire beyond the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, beyond the beauty of the world, so that we belong not to ourselves and not to the world and its beauty that are passing away, but so that we will belong to what the liturgical texts sometimes call the never-fading and ever-living flower born of the Virgin, Christ our true God, and to become one with him in the mystery of his Sabbath rest, his death on the cross, the beginning of our resurrection. And so we were immersed in the font and our leprosy was put to death. We were cleansed of our leprosy. Led to stand in the church now on this side of the font, Christ's tomb, we passed over into Eden, The royal doors were open to us, and we beheld the tree of life coming down to us. We were called to draw near, and we were granted to partake of the risen and glorified body and blood of God. Then, we enjoyed the fruits of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what the early church called the agape meal, we call it coffee hour. And when we were done with his holy apostles, the Lord sent us back into the world. But dear faithful, 10 lepers were cleansed. Only one was saved. Where did the other 9 go after they were cleansed? Dear faithful, where have we gone after we were led back into Eden and granted to partake of the tree of life? Sent back into the world, the Lord sends us out into an evil day. But he sends us as candles shining with a light that darkness cannot overcome. In the world, in the darkness of this age, we are assailed by the fiery darts of the devil and all his angels and all his hosts and all his pride, the rulers of the darkness of this age, whom we renounced at our baptism. But now they come at us as the serpent came at Eve. That is to say, they come at us not from inside, they've been chased out. They come at us from the outside. They come at us from the outside, and they gather, if you will, at the gate of our erotic desire. They want desperately, it seems, to make themselves incarnate in us. And so they set out to seduce us, even to rape us, that they may copulate with our soul and sow their word of envy and disobedience into the womb of our soul, and so pervert our erotic desire so that we of our own will, for understand, the demons cannot force us against our will, so that we of our own will would turn away from the tree of life, our true lover, and go back to the Pharaoh. Dear faithful of the church, we are cleansed of our leprosy, but we are not made into robots. We are made to become a bush, burning with the uncreated fire of God. Our free will, our self-determination is purged, it's cleansed, but it is not destroyed. It is delivered from evil. It is energized by the Lord's own obedient will that strengthens us from within. But as St. John Chrysostom says in his homily on 2 Timothy, it is still ours to choose. The Lord cannot make that choice for us. If he did, he'd make us into robots. We'd no longer become beloved lovers. We'd become impersonal, mechanical robots. Dear faithful, sent back into the world by the Lord, have we abandoned our first love? As the Lord complains to St. John in the book of Revelations. And have we gone off with the 9 back to Egypt? Back to our old ways. If we haven't taken it off altogether, and the fact that you're here this morning tells me that we have not taken it off altogether, but perhaps we've allowed to hang rather loosely the full armor of God. What is the full armor of God, dear faithful? It's the cross. It's the cross that Christ gives to us in the church's ascetic disciplines of confession, prayer, and fasting. Have we allowed ourselves, by letting that armor hang rather loosely, have we allowed ourselves to grow inattentive against the fiery darts of the devil? They are the subtle and the not so subtle lies of the serpent. They're noetic, they're religious, They're academic, they're scientific, they're social, they're emotional, psychological, fleshly. There are lies coming at us from all quarters, all sources, and they take every shape and form of the world. These lies assail our eyes and our ears from every quarter, tempting us to reach out with our erotic desire only so far as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and not to deny ourselves, and not to drive our erotic desire deep beyond all things, beyond the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, into the mystery of the tree of life. Christ, He knew. Dear faithful, we cannot stand in the darkness of this evil day if we do not, with constant inner vigilance, in the fear of God, with faith and love, choose, as St. Herman of Alaska would say, choose every day, every moment, every hour, and every moment to put on the whole armor of God. That is to say, that having been cleansed, having been received into the church and being brought back into the Garden of Eden, our spiritual leprosy having been cleansed, we must return, we must repent with the Samaritan leper, and we must fall down on our face. In other words, we must fall down in our heart at the feet of the great high priest, Christ our God, not every now and then, but always. It is through prayer and fasting and the confession of our sins that we drive our erotic desire beyond the lust of the flesh and into our heart, and into the Sabbath rest of God, the cave and the tomb of God, the font of our resurrection. That's where we come to belong, not to this world that passes away, but to the tree of life, Christ our God, who loved us and gave himself for us, that we could become, if we want to, partakers of his light that darkness cannot overcome. Amen. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory to God.